Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Go with me over to the book of Mark, chapter 9, and verse 14. Mark, chapter 9, verse 14. It says, "And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, they were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted to him. And he asked the scribes, 'What question ye with them?' And one of the multitude answered and said, 'Master, I brought to thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tarried, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it have cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, and so much that many said he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could not we cast him out? And he said to them, This kind come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." Now, I want us to get a picture of what's going on. Jesus has just come on the scene. The disciples is there. There's a thing stir going there because this man has brought his son that has this spirit in him, and he brought him there, and the disciples couldn't cast him out. So when Jesus gets on the scene, he starts asking that and asking what's going on. And so he tells him and he brings him to him, and he's foaming. The spirit's kind of showing himself. And Jesus, says, How long's he been like this? And he begins to tell him. And so Jesus then tells that spirit to come out of him. And he comes out of him. Now, here's the thing I want us to look at. First of all, Jesus, once he said, I brought him to your disciples, and they couldn't cast him out, the first thing Jesus said, O faithless generation. Faithless generation. Now, that's a pretty rough charge for Jesus to give. And he's not just giving it to those, he's giving it to his disciples too. Amen. It's not just the people standing around there. He's talking about everybody. He's talking about the whole generation. And so when the man tells him, he says, If you can do anything, help us, have compassion on us. Jesus says something. He says, If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now, it's really quiet in here right now. Here's where I'm at. I'm tired of being outside looking in. I'm tired of reading about signs, wonders, and miracles. I'm tired about hearing about healings. It's time for you and I to get into the all things are possible because we believe. You see, here's the thing, church. Here's what you have to see in this whole situation. There's not a problem with the power of God here. We know that because through the power of God, Jesus cast out that devil. You say, well, yeah, but now see, that's Jesus. The disciples couldn't, but understand this. Jesus operated on the earth as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that was in the disciples. Same Spirit. What's the difference? Jesus believed He could do it. The disciples didn't. See, there was not a problem with God's power. It was a problem of unbelief. Jesus, right off the bat, called them faithless. Because He knew they didn't believe they could do it. And nobody standing around believed they could do it. But Jesus showed them the power of God because He said, all things, if you can believe, all things are possible to them that believe. I like the honesty of the Father. Because He says, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. And you see, I think that's where the church is at a lot. See, here's the difference. One says, I believe that it's possible. The other says, I believe it's going to happen. See, that's what the man needed help with. He believed that it was possible. And most of the church, if you ask them, oh yeah, I believe Jesus can heal. I believe Jesus can do this and Jesus can do that. And I believe, but see, to take it over into faith, to get out of unbelief, you have to take it from He can till He will. Well, I don't know about that, Pastor. Now, that's up to God. Just a second. He gave us His Word. And His Word is His will. So if the Bible says it, then it's possible. Right? We have to take ourselves from the place to where we know it's possible if the Bible says it, to knowing that He will do what He said He would do. And that's where the church is missing it. The early church believed what God said, and that's why they could just walk by. Peter could just walk by and his shadow would heal folk. Why? Because he believed that the anointing of God was in him so strong that all he had to do is get close to somebody and that anointing would get over on them and heal them. See, some of you looking at me real funny. See, we've sat back and played church so long and listened to the world, let the world and religion put us in such a little box that we think, we're just going to go to church and be good people. God doesn't. He wants His church to rise up and be an army. Yeah, it don't matter how big an army you got. If that army don't know how to fight, you're still going to get beat. David proved you could take a few well-trained men and defeat mighty armies. Come on. Hezekiah proved that you could take a bunch of praise and worshipers who believed God and defeat many armies. They didn't even have to fight. All they had to do is sing and praise God. And God caused them to turn them. See, you've got to understand something. When you decide, I'm going to take it from thinking He can till He will, what you're doing is putting pressure on God, not on you. See, now, I don't mean that disrespectful. He said, put me in remembrance of my word. He wouldn't have said it if He didn't mean it. God didn't just talk idle talk. Right? Jesus didn't just talk idle talk. He said what He meant, and He meant what He said. But you see, we in our unbelief a lot of times, I don't know about that. Well, that's the problem. You don't know about it, and you're over in unbelief. So I want to encourage you today. We're talking today about an unbelief problem that we got to get past. I'm telling you, we're in the end of days. Now, how long those last, I don't know. But here's what I do know. We are in the end of days to where the church has got to rise up once again and be the church of signs and wonders and miracles. Be the church that believes God. Be the church that God confirms His Word with signs following. We just don't talk about how good God is. We don't just talk about how He heals. We don't just talk about how He saves. We can say the Word and watch it get confirmed right before our eyes. We start doing the Word instead of just preaching the Word. Now, I'm telling you something. We're talking about taking a big step, and most churches don't want to do that. Well, what if He don't do that? What if it don't happen? See, that's the problem. It's unbelief. Because God will never fail you. I promise you right now, if you come up here and ask God to save you, He'll save you.
Amen.
Why? Because He said He would. Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, either God's a liar or we're in unbelief. Right? I'll guarantee you, if you come up here right now and ask Jesus to heal you, He will. You're all, now, Pastor, now you've lost it now, Pastor. Well, Jesus said, which is easier? Take up your bed and walk, which is healing. Or, son, thy sins be forgiven. And Jesus said, just so you know that the Son of Man has power to forgive sins and heal, take up your bed and walk. It's no different. It's the power of God working in human beings. Now, I know this is a little deep, but it's time for us to get a little deeper. We've been wading around too long. It's time for us to get in. Either we believe it or we don't. Come on now. We need to understand that God wants us believing His Word and doing the Word. Remember, James tells us, he says, don't just be a forgetful hearer of the Word, but be a doer of the Word. And the man that does the Word is going to be blessed in his deeds. Quit acting like the Bible's a storybook.
Amen.
Quit acting like it's a history book.
Amen.
It's alive.
Yes.
It's the living Word of God. And the Bible says it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it cuts right down to the marrow of the bones. And it discerns what's in your heart. The Bible is real. Just as real as God. Just as real as Jesus. Because it is Jesus. It's the Word that was made flesh. You see Him. So we've got to get ourselves to this place to where we understand I got to get out of my unbelief and get over into what God wants me to do. Now let me show you something just to back this up. Go with me to 2 Peter real quickly. 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Let's just read chapter 1 here. Let's begin there. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, is that, he's talking to the church, right? That's you. If you've been born again, that's who Simon Peter's writing to. Right? Children of God. You've got to get this now. See, we read it a lot of time. We think he's talking to somebody else, but he's talking to us. You say, yeah, but now, you know, he wrote this. Understand that the Bible is timeless. You can go to the Old Testament and the Bible will speak to you now, even though we're under the New Testament. But the Word of God's alive. It's ageless. Now, if you listen to the world, they'll tell you that it's a dilapidated Bible and, you know, it's not relevant for today and all that. That's all lies. It's because Satan doesn't want it preached. Men don't want to change their ways. They want to do what they want to do and think they're going to be all right. But that's not what the Word says. So Peter's talking to believers. He says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Notice that grace and peace comes through the knowledge of our Lord. The more you know about Jesus, the more grace, the more peace you're going to be able to walk in. When I understand that Jesus is with me at all times and He never leaves me, He never forsakes me, He never goes on vacation, He never sleeps, He never slumbers. Anytime I need Him, He's right there. Don't matter, am I in the darkest? He said, if I made my bed in hell, He's still there. That's the Jesus that we serve. So He says you can have the grace and peace by the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 3. According as His divine power. Now, whose power? God's power. According as His divine power hath given unto us. Already has. Right? Does your Bible say hath? Okay. That's just King James for already has. Given unto us all things. Everybody say all things. All things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that have called us to glory and virtue. You know what He just said? Gave you everything you're going to need in this life to live a godly life and do what you need to be able to do. He's already given it to you. That's what Peter says. I mean, you know, he says He's already given it to you. Now, let's read on just a little bit more. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers. Now listen to this. You might be partakers of the divine nature. What? God has given you everything you need for you to walk in His divine nature. In other words, in Godlikeness. Didn't say you was God. I said you're walking because the Holy Spirit's on the inside of you. Yes. Do you understand that? Same Spirit that was in Jesus is in you.
Yes.
So He says you've been given these exceeding precious promises so that you can walk or be a partaker of the divine nature. The God kind of nature. Godliness is what He's saying. Now let's read on just a little more. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. He says you can walk higher than the world and escape what draws them in. And see, here's the thing. That's where you and I have to be. We have to be to where we walk above this thing. We say, I don't know. See, when Jesus, the reason I read that in the other scripture, remember Jesus said, the disciples came and said, Lord, why couldn't we cast him out? And Jesus said, this kind comes out only by prayer and fasting. Now, Jesus did not mean because Jesus didn't pray nor fast when He just casted that devil out. Some folks have thought you could pray and cast the devil out and fast and get a devil to leave. It don't leave because you pray and fast.
Come on.
Praying and fasting is what helps you possess the divine nature that comes before the enemy. And now I'm anointed. I've been praying. I've been fasting. And when I command that thing to come out, it's got to come out in the name of Jesus, because I'm operating in the power of God. Because through prayer and fasting, I elevated myself above the world. Above the lust that's in the world through corruption. I elevated myself to another level in God, to where that devil has to obey me. Because I understand my authority. I understand who I am in Christ. And when I speak out as an ambassador for Christ, right? The Bible says that's what we are. And I believe that when I speak to that devil has to go. I believe that with all my heart. Amen. I'll never forget one time we had a lady that some folks brought in here. She'd cut herself and you know, she was just full of the devil, really. And we came up here. And man, that thing would call me up and talk and left messages on my phone, saying some bad stuff, and then go into that demonic language. I wish I'd have saved that for you. I could have let you listen to that. But when she came in, we cast that thing out. It had to go. It had to go. Why? Because we believe what the Word says. You'll cast out devils if you believe in His name, right? These signs will follow them that believe. You'll cast out devils, right? Why? Because we believe what the Word says. Now, unfortunately, that she went back out and got right back into a lot of the things, if I understand it right. And, you know, here's the thing. You've got to, once it comes out, they got to want to keep it out. Right? When the unclean spirit's gone out of a man, it walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and it finds none. So it says to itself, I'll go back to my house from which I came, talking about that person. And he goes back and he finds it empty, swept and garnished. In other words, when he got put out, it cleaned up the house. But the Bible says, because there's nothing there, it's empty, that he goes back in and takes seven spirits worse than himself. You see, we'll say, well, what should they have done? They should have replaced where he was at with the Holy Spirit. See, because man was not made to carry around demons, God made us to carry around his Holy Spirit. But if we don't allow the Holy Spirit to possess us, then the devil tries to. That's why the Bible says, neither give place to the devil. Don't give him a place. Don't be calling up psychics. Don't be using Ouija boards. Don't be get away from astrologers and all that junk. I'm gonna mess you up just a little bit. Just stay away from all this yoga meditation junk because it comes from Eastern. Nothing wrong with meditating on the Word. Come on now. I was watching a thing yesterday day before yesterday. Dumbest thing I ever saw in my life. Some people took a dog to one of those temples and they were trying to cause the dog spirit to calm down so somebody else could take it over as owner. And they was rubbing, taking their hand and going over it. The dog laying there asleep and they're placing stones on the dog. And I thought, man, I never seen so many devils in one place in my life. It was all poppycock. But man, they believed in it. You know, they'd speak words over them, all that. Wasn't nothing godly about it. And God wasn't there. But you see, there's people that believe that junk, and we can't get Christians to believe the Word of God. They'll believe a psychic before they believe the Word. Come on, they'll believe some fortune teller before they believe the Word. A palm reader before they believe the Word. Church, there's more power in your little finger than all the power that the world possesses or the devil possesses, because Jesus said, I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. But if you don't believe it, it don't work for you.
Amen.
Amen. So we have to be careful and understand God has already given us everything we need to rule and reign here on this earth, live out our life godly and possess the things that God says we can possess, but also impose the kingdom of God into the darkness. But we got to get out of our unbelief. Don't listen to the devil when he tells you, oh, you ain't nothing. Who do you think you are? I'll tell you who you are. If you're a born-again child of God, you're a son or daughter of God. You're a king or priest unto God. Come on now. You're an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Can I tell you that if you're in Christ, you are one of the most powerful forces upon this earth. Because the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. And if the Holy Spirit's not the most powerful entity on the earth, then nothing is. Because He's part of the Trinity. He's part of the Godhead. Amen. So we got to get ourselves to this place. This is burning in my spirit, because when I saw Jesus say, you know, you're a faithless generation, but then tell them if they could believe, all things were possible to them that believe, and then go ahead and do what he said he could do, it started firing me up about this thing and realizing how much in unbelief we really are, even though we've been given everything that we need for this life and godliness. So, since God's given us everything, then we must be the problem. Oh, come on now. I know that hurts. Put your finger right here and say, I'm the problem. It's my unbelief. Come on. I know I'm not trying to get you to make a negative confession. But here's the thing. You can never take the step into getting corrected until you admit that you need corrected. Oh, I'm all right. I'm doing okay. Everything's pretty good with me. We're doing all right. You know, I'm not cussing or drinking or swarping. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. But are you doing what you're supposed to be doing? It's not just about what you're not doing. Are you doing what you're supposed to be doing? Are you praying? Are you fasting? Are you studying? Are you seeking God? Are you building up your faith so that you can believe what the Word of God says? And see, that's our problem, is we don't... Tim and I were talking, and we were just talking about, you know, some of the great men of faith and stuff that we've heard about. But see, you know, again, it's time to go from the past into the future, from the present right on in. But we talked about the fact, you know, Dad Hagin, I mean, probably one of the most spiritual men that I've ever read about or ever been around or ever heard. But here was the thing. He would go and he would get, and for 3 hours, he'd sit and he'd pray, and he'd pray in the Spirit. Said one day he'd been praying about 3 hours. When you got up, the devil said, "You just wasted 3 hours." He said, "All right, devil, just cause that, I'm going to pray another hour." That's right. And just, he was the type of guy that, and I'll explain in a minute, but he was the type of guy, in his wife's book, he talks about the fact that she wrote a book, because nobody knows you better than your wife, right? Come on, guys, your wife knows, they know you the best. His wife in her book writes that somebody would come to visit the house, and it would be his time to study, and he, you know, small houses, one room, living room, study, all the same room. And his desk was over against the wall, and they would come in, and she would say, "You're welcome to come in and visit, but he's studying right now." And so they would come in, and when they come in, they'd sit down, and she'd be talking to him, and they'd look over, and they'd say, "How you doing, Brother Hagin?" He didn't acknowledge they were even in the room. Now you're saying, "Well, that man was so, so rude." No, that man was serious about his relationship with God. See, don't look at me. See, that's why we're not having visions. That's why we're not seeing miracles. Because how you doing? I'm glad you came. I don't need to study right now. You won't get a miracle buddying up with somebody just talking and fellowshipping. Now, I'm not saying we don't do that. We should. But I'm telling you that, you know, the church needs to start laying devices down. Hanging the phone, taking phones off the hook or turning them off. And taking time that this is what I'm going to do. And this is my dedicated time to God. I'm going to study, pray, and be with God right now. And I don't want any interferences from the world. Amen. You see, that's our thing. We're not willing to pay the price. Smith Wigglesworth. Raise people from the dead. I'm not sure exactly how many I've heard before, and raise people from the dead. I mean, went into a funeral home, told everybody to get out, and then walked out of the funeral home with that person that was in the casket. True stories, folks. I'm not telling you fairy tales. It's documented. It's documented. And you know what they said about him? Never prayed longer than 15 minutes. That's what they said. But never went longer than 15 minutes without praying. Are you getting something here? Look at the life of Jesus. Look at Jesus' ministry. When you see Jesus doing a miracle, back up a few chapters. Because what you'll find out is Jesus went on the mountain to pray. And when he came down, he was full of the Holy Ghost. And people would come and all of them would be healed. It wasn't that Jesus didn't pray. It's just that Jesus prayed and then he acted. He prayed and fasted and then he cast out a devil. You can't get to church to pray. Come on now. We live such busy lifestyles, you know. Right? Well, I don't got time to pray. If you've got a smartphone, just kind of slip over there to that place where it says hours of use. And it'll tell you how many hours you spent screen time. And then tell me if you've got time to pray or not. Because if you had 20 hours this week on screen time, don't you tell me you didn't have time to pray. You chose not to pray so you could do what you wanted to do. I'm going to tell you, the flesh, remember Jesus when he tells them, he says, pray. And he walks out and begins to pray and he comes back and they're all asleep. And he wakes them all up and says, "Can't you pray an hour?" And he goes back out again. Jesus is getting ready to be crucified. I mean, this is a crucial time. He needs people to pray. And he comes back and the disciples are asleep again. And he wakes them up and he says, the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. What was he saying? We have to take this flesh and crucify it and tell it, shut up. I'm going to pray. In your head, you've got to be careful because your head will remind you of all the things you need to do. Things that you should have done a long time ago. Right? You know, if your house needed cleaning on Monday and you're trying to pray on Friday, all of a sudden you need to clean your house real bad today. You know, not you wouldn't remind it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. It's when you got ready to pray. That's when the devil come at you and said, right? You know, oh, you need to run and do this, or you need to run and do that. No! Tell your flesh to shut up and go ahead and pray and get into the Spirit. Might take a little bit, but your body will finally shut up. Yeah, but Pastor, it's just hard for me to pray. That's why it's so important to be able to pray in the Spirit. That's why you need to get filled with the Holy Ghost and receive your prayer language so that you can pray no matter what your head's doing, no matter what your mind's doing, still out of your mouth is flowing that heavenly language that only you and God understand as a prayer language. Now, there may be a time in a service when you give a tongue, and that's for public, and that's when it needs an interpretation. But it's so important. The Bible says that when we don't even know how to pray, that the Spirit will give us utterance to be able to pray out the perfect will of God. So He's given us these things and helping us so that we can operate in power here upon this earth. Now, in 2 Peter chapter 3, I want to show you something. I'll try to hurry up with this. It says here, let's just back up all the way back up to verse 1 again. It says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Now this is 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 2. That we may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they are willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. What's he saying? He's saying there's a lot of folks that are unbelief because they're saying, well, you know, they've been saying Jesus is coming all my life, but I ain't seen Him coming yet. I promise you, He's coming. And it's sooner now than it ever was. He's coming. So now you can be with these idiots that think He's not coming. Jesus said they were ignorant, or the Word says they're ignorant. Jesus is coming. You better get ready. You don't know when He's coming. Here's the thing. When breath goes out of your body, Jesus is there because you're going to face Him. It might not be when the church is caught up. It might not be at the end of the world. It might be when something happens or your heart beats that last beat. You better not be with this bunch. You better not be in over unbelief because you don't think He's coming and you don't think you need to do it right now. I'm going to tell you, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. If you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Harden not. What's that mean? Don't listen to what your head is telling you. Oh, you got plenty of time. You don't have to do it right now. Just wait a little later. You got a whole life to live. You don't have the promise of another second. That's a lie of the devil. He would love for you to die and go to hell. But listen to what the Word says, okay? But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Yes, sir. The Lord says this, even though you don't believe I'm coming, I'm coming. And the reason I've not come yet is because I love you so much, I'm trying to give you time to repent. Come on, think about that for a minute. He's not slack concerning His promise. He is coming. But He's long-suffering. In other words, He's trying to wait. He's trying to give everybody as much time as possible to come into the kingdom of God so they can go to heaven and not go to hell. So He's not willing that any should perish. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. But He wants everyone to repent. Yeah, but now you know, Pastor, I just don't know if I'm ready to give up this life. Well, I'm going to tell you something. All that's in this life is the promise of hell. In the kingdom of God, you have the promise of heaven, plus you have the promise of an abundant life here, if you'll believe it. You can have a good life. I don't regret living my life for Jesus at all. Hallelujah. Come on now. Yeah, but you know, I just do so many things that, you know, I like to get high. Listen, if you get high on the Holy Ghost, that's the best high ever was. Come on. And you know what's so wonderful about getting high on the Holy Ghost is there ain't no hangovers. There ain't no adverse effects to your body. Your teeth won't fall out. Your hair won't fall out. Come on, somebody. You won't be a 20-year-old looking like a 50-year-old. If anything, it kind of rejuvenates you. I mean, you just, because the life of God has come into you. When you're dealing with the devil and the things of the devil, what that is death. That's death. If you don't think drugs and those kind of things are of the devil, just look what it does to people. Starts distorting them, making them look more like creatures of the night or right? Come on now. Let's just tell the truth, can we? You know? So Jesus says, I love you enough that I'm trying to give you a little more time. I'm delaying the return of Jesus to give you time to give your life to me so that you won't have to go to hell. Man, is that love or what? As wicked as this world has become right now, even, all the ungodly things that are going on right now, Jesus says, I still got to wait because there's some. There's some. I don't want anybody to go to hell. I'm not willing for anybody to go to hell. I want to give them a little time, even though it might be kind of getting bad down there. I want to give them a little time so they can come into the kingdom before I go get my church, before I go get my kids. Because He loves every one of us. He loves every one of you enough to let Jesus die for you. Think about that. He let His Son die for you. Why in the world would He try to hurry up and come down here and take up just what we have now when He can wait a little while longer? And you'll make up your mind. Come to your senses. Look at yourself. See, if you're not accepting Jesus as your Savior, you're in unbelief. Oh, I believe in Jesus. If you believe in Jesus, then act on it. Make Him Lord of your life. Act like you believe it. Just like us Christians got to act like we believe what the Word says about signs and wonders and miracles and us being anointed and casting out devils and doing what the Word says. We all have to do our part in faith if we want to get rid of the unbelief. So He said that they're talking and saying, you know, where's his return? When's He going to come? And He says, I don't operate on the same schedule as you do. My timetable's a little different, so it's not slack. I'm just being long-suffering because I love you and want you to repent. And He says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this thing. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. 1,000 years is one day. So there's a time difference. And then He gets down here and He says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. See that? It's coming. Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hastening to the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to the promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given to him, hath written unto you, as also in all of his apostles, speaking to them of all things in which some are hard things to be understood, that they are unlearned, and that they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest also being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. You know what He just said? He just said God is coming and He's going to take home the church. And He says, here's some things that you need to understand though. Since you know this is happening, you need to be living like it's going to happen. Come on. Christians live like they're going to get to live just throughout their whole life here on this earth. Come on, they act like the world. Notice he said, you've got to be careful with your own steadfastness unless you get tricked away. In other words, somebody said, oh, it won't hurt nothing for you to take one drink. It won't hurt nothing for you to go to one party with us. It won't hurt nothing for you to do. That's the devil. Because that's the devil's crowd. And why in the world would a child of God want to be in the devil's crowd? Come on, now don't get mad at me because I'm preaching good here. He says, since you know these things, you ought to be living a godly life. And he said, by the way, you know, Paul's wrote some things that's pretty hard to be understood. And the ones that are wrestling with it, they wrestle with everything because they don't believe nothing. But he said, you need to understand and believe what Paul said. See, here's the thing. Just because something is difficult to be understood does not give you the right to throw it out and dismiss it and say it's not for today. See, that's one of the most common things that happens today with people that wrestle with the Scripture. Oh, that's not for us today. Is it in the New Testament? Then it's for us today. Come on. Yeah, but now Paul was talking to a different group of people there. Yep, he sure was. He's talking to all of us. Come on now. If he wouldn't talk to all of us, why in the world would God have it in his book? Come on, see. That's why we've got to get away from the unbelief. We've got to get away from what anybody else. See, here's the thing. It does not matter what anybody else believes. If it's in the Word of God, then it's true. It's settled. And you and I need to believe it. I don't care what anybody else. I don't believe that. Well, I'm sorry. You don't have to believe it if you want. But see, I got Scripture. Let me just give you one more Scripture here, and we'll close this thing. I got some more things, but I'm not going to get into this because Romans says, Romans 3:3-4 says, for what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it's written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. He says it don't matter if people don't believe or not. It doesn't change the faith of God. It does not change the Word of God. You follow the Word of God and you'll be justified and they'll be ashamed. So I'm going to choose to believe the Word. I'm going to choose to believe the promises of God in His Word. The Bible teaches us that in 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God are in Him, are yea, and in Him, amen, to the glory of God by us. Now in the Message it says it this way. Whatever God has promised gets stamped with the yes of Jesus. In Him, this is what we preach and pray, the great amen. God's yes and our yes together, gloriously evident. In other words, if God says yes and we say yes, it's an unbeatable combination. If we will answer God with a yes, then the power of God can flow through us and we'll begin to see things change. We'll begin to influence the way God wants us to influence as the body of Christ. Amen. Would you stand with me? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, help us to have a yes for your yes. Help us, Father God, to get away from unbelief and bring ourselves over into faith with you, Father God, that we believe your word and act on your word, and you'll be glorified by it. Father, I pray, Lord, for those today that don't know you as their personal Savior, that today is the day they'll say yes to salvation. They'll add their yes to your yes, because you said yes when you allowed Jesus Christ to die for us. You said yes when you said you weren't willing that any would perish. You said yes to us, whoever would call upon the name of the Lord. And now we pray, Father, give them the strength to say yes today to your salvation and your plan for them to go to heaven. And we give you praise for that in Jesus' name. With nobody looking around, every head still bowed, if you're in this place right now and you want to say yes to Jesus, you want to know that you know you're on your way to heaven, I want to give you an opportunity to come and pray. I'll pray with you. The Bible simply says that if we believe that Jesus Christ died on a cross, was placed in a tomb, and on the third day he rose again, it says that we can believe that, make him Lord of our life, and we'll be saved. We'll assure our place in the kingdom of heaven. Is there anybody? You say, that's me, Pastor Mike. I've never made a commitment to God, but I want to make one right now. I want to know that I know I'm on my way to heaven. Maybe you're here and somewhere along the line you had made your commitment to God, but you let it slip away. You got tied back up with the wrong people, the wrong things, and maybe you backslid. And you say, Pastor Mike, I want to rededicate my life to God. I want to know that I know I'm back on the right track. Is there anybody? If that's you, you can get somebody by the hand. Would you come? Not trying to embarrass you, just trying to give you an opportunity right now. God's will is for you to be saved. God's will is for you to repent.